My soul says yes. Yes to your way, yes to your will, yes to trusting you, yes to obeying you. My soul says yes. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Anybody here, your soul is telling God yes. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Amen. You can't have no better response to God Almighty than to say yes, Lord. Yes, I'm going to trust you. Yes, I'm going to have faith in you. Yes, I'm going to do what you say. Yes, I'm going to do how you say it. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I'm hoping today at some point you heard the Lord speaking to you to do this or that, and you said yes. Amen, somebody. Amen. Amen. So tell God yes. It'll make you feel good down the inside. You may be feeling a little nervous. Sometimes God will have us to do certain things, like go up to somebody we don't know and tell them that Jesus loves them, or share a word of encouragement to somebody that we was uncomfortable with talking maybe the subject with. But when we do what God tells us to do, it releases something down on the inside of us. Glory to God. Amen. Well, good evening, good evening, good evening to you, 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 and yes, even you. You're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. I am delighted to be here with you on today. Amen. You are in for a true word of faith. Amen. A true word of God. Amen. On tonight. Amen. True word of faith. That's the name of the ministry. True word of faith. I'm thankful that you are here with us on today here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless you. It is a pleasure to be here with you. I thank God for all of those that have come before me. Those, I thank God for Brother Charles, a.k.a. Six Eyes himself, amen. Thank God for Missionary Ken, amen, and other ministers that was here long before me, amen, sharing the gospel news. And I'm just so glad they decided not only just to add me on the roster, but to keep me around a little bit longer, amen. So it is a pleasure to be with you, amen, and I don't take it lightly, amen, because you could be doing a lot of things, amen. You could be watching your favorite cartoon, your favorite talk show, your favorite movie, amen. You could be cutting your fingernails, amen. All kinds of stuff you could be doing right now, finishing up your yard, I don't know, now filling out your grocery list. There's so many things that you could be doing, but you chose to spend time with us and the Word of God on today, amen, and I am thankful, thankful, thankful. I'm getting ready to open up all these mics here. I want to know how's your mental this evening. Amen. How you feeling? Amen. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to talk about, I'm switching up tonight. Amen. I have a message. Normally, I always try to, I do a men's program every third Saturday. Amen. And once I'm done with that, I take that same outline and I convert it to fit everyone, women and men. Amen. And so I was going to bring tonight a message dealing with developing your personal toolbox. Amen. But I'm feeling something different right now. Amen. I want to provoke, I want to challenge, push, I want to pry, amen. I want to make you look at the scripture. I want to make sure that you know what it says and you got what it says. And I want you to be able to put yourself under that microscope of the Word of God, amen. And I want you to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be better because there's more for me to do. There's some things going on in our world that the reason why the body of Christ is not winning is because the body of Christ is not doing what in the natural will be called strength training. Amen. Athletes everywhere go through a period of strength training, strength and endurance. They go through this training because they know that whatever event, whatever whatever sport that they're playing, that they need a level of endurance to do the sport itself. But if they want to win, they know that their level of endurance has to exceed the level of their competitor. Amen, somebody. Now, in the Christian world, competitors should not be one another. Amen. In other words, what I'm saying in short is the Baptist shouldn't be against the Pentecostal, and the Pentecostal shouldn't be against the Protestant, and the Protestant shouldn't be against the Methodist, and the Methodist shouldn't be against any other. And that circle keeps on going. Amen. We're talking about true Christians now. I'm not talking about some of these religions that claim to be of God, but they're not. They don't use the Bible in its right content. Amen. They rewrote things. And we're not talking about stuff like that. We're not talking about the obscure stuff. We're not talking about people who just blatantly say they of God, and then they do their own thing. Amen. We're talking about people that name the name Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Amen. We're going to go through a few scriptures on that tonight. Amen. And I'm just going to bring some things out. And I'm like this. I learned this a long time ago in evangelist. In evangelism is sometimes the best testimony is to let them read the evidence for themselves. In other words, let the Bible speak. Once upon a time, I used to try to defend the Bible in such a way where I was in, and all I was doing was focusing on getting my point across, winning the argument, and that may have had its place in my early development. Amen. But as I began to grow even more in the loving grace of God, I found out it was more to than just winning. Amen. Because if I win the argument but there's no conversion, there's no transformation taking place, there's no change of heart from the other person, and they leave more frustrated about the things of God than they were already frustrated with, then I really didn't benefit the kingdom of God, because instead of getting someone to receive the kingdom of God, I inadvertently pushed them away. Amen. And so a lot of times we take certain approaches with people that we take it from a standpoint of, I'm just trying to prove to you I know more than what you're saying. And that's not good. Amen. And being a person who have done that in the past, I understand it's so important for me not to just prove to you how much I know. Because truth of the matter is, you don't care how much I know. If I don't love you, it don't mean nothing to you. Amen, somebody. And Jesus said, in love and kindness have I drawn thee. And he wasn't proving how much he knew. He was proving how much he loved. So if we're to be Christ-like, then we have to learn how to take Christ-like approaches. Amen. Because after all, we're called Christians, and that term means to be Christ-like. So let me open up these mics, and I want to say once again, good evening, good evening, good evening. God bless you, you, and yes, how are you doing this evening? How's your mental? This is our good mental evening. Health month. Amen. Good evening. That my is mental. AKA Mr. Six.
It's me.
Well, you know, this is sick. This is Mental Health Month, the month of July, and so,
yes.
So, sir, tell the world because we are
well.
All,
hello, world.
The world, how's your mental?
Well, world, Pastor Bonnet, My mental is definitely a thumbs up here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Looking forward to another great Motivational Monday message from you. So once again, hello to everybody around the world. Mental is thumbs up, brother. I'm ready.
Amen. I remember Cisco and Eager used to do that thing with the movies back in the day.
Cisco and Eager, thumbs up, thumbs down. Double popcorn, one and a half popcorn.
Hey, when you said that, it just brought that back to my memory. Oh man, that used to be something to watch them debate on the different movies and why they would give thumbs up or thumbs down. That was fun back in the day.
Yep.
But anyway, anyone else? Before I get on the movie beans here.
Well, I'm doing great. Two thumbs up and just ready to enjoy the show.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Wolfgang. Amen. Two thumbs up.
I accepted the motion.
All right, Sister Ruth. Amen. So she
I've got so many praise reports, I'm ready to bust. The Lord has been helping me with my body since I've had those injections in my back. So I had six of them with no anesthesia. But that doesn't matter. I'm still dancing and praising God.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Now.
Amen. I like that. Amen. I can get the Wolfgang, get the camera ready when she does the two steps. I need you to record it. We need to go live.
Amen.
Put it up.
Also, yeah. Just let you know, what makes me real great and happy is last night, Sunday night, we had our first Sunday night program on Station 2, cover to cover. We'll be doing cover to cover of the Bible. We started in Genesis 1. We covered all of Genesis 1 last night. Had some real good information come across, so that was really good. And we're going to continue with Genesis chapter 2 on next Sunday. And if anybody wants to join that station, they always can remember to give us a call at 515-605-9340. And that's how they join us for that station.
Amen, amen. And we're going to be sure to give that information out again at the end of the program. You be ready with that information then. Amen.
Hey, Amen. I forgot to ask prayer for Emily. She had an incident with her heart. It's like angina, and she's not doing well. So we pray for her. She's out of the hospital, but she did go down. Kenny might tell you more detail.
Okay.
Well, but basically that was it. It wasn't real bad. It was a light angina attack. So don't take it too seriously, but they took care of her, and she's doing at least okay the last I checked with her.
Amen.
Well,
I was just making sure I understand what the action is. I know people have what's called anxiety. Is that like an anxiety
attack? Angina. It's a light heart attack.
But that's what some anxiety attacks give the impressions of a mild heart attack. So that's why I was asking.
No, this was actually a heart attack.
Okay.
That's what they actually said.
I want to be clear on that. Amen. When you don't know, you should ask. That is just assuming. So I didn't know. I wanted to make sure I had the right understanding.
Right. And can we still ask continued prayer for my radio colleague, Red Wine?
Robert.
They found him unresponsive. And right now, they got him. He's off life support, so he is kind of – he's breathing on his own. But they said that he's over-breathing. He's over-breathing the machine. They said that's a good thing. But he's still not out of the woods yet. So just continue prayers and speedy recovery for him.
And you said – you called him Red Vine or Red Wine?
Red Wine. That's red, the last name for real. Uh-huh.
Red what?
Red wine. Wine. W-I-N-E. Wine.
Oh, okay. I wrote it right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Amen.
Yeah.
That apple went out on you a little bit, so I wanted to make sure Samsung picked it up.
Amen. Shots fired. Okay. I'm going to bet you on Monday.
Oh, you know, we're going to get them in. We're going to get them in here.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Just getting started.
Man, listen, I was at the golf course earlier today, and I saw two squirrels playing tag up a tree and down a tree. I'm like, man, look at them squirrels playing tags. You thought that was just for kids. Man, they literally chasing one up and down the tree. I was like, and then when I stopped and looked at them, they're like, okay. And they just paused. Like, they was like, go on, get your picture in. Go on, get your pictures in. Yeah, man, it was funny.
Pretty cool.
Man.
So we have a problem here in Ohio. The groundhogs are taking over. The groundhogs are taking over. They're burrowing into the grass. They're burrowing into the, you know, getting into the foundation. You know, people can't get out to get in their cars to go to work. You know, they're just making nests inside garages. So it's a little bit out of hand. So if you have any issues, it's the groundhogs. The groundhogs are taking over. So
wow.
Yeah, so it's a little
down here in the south we have issues with the issues in the mid south here we have issues with moles. But all you need is a good dog.
He'll
dig them right on up out of your yard. You just need a good dog. Yeah, my canine dog, he don't take too lightly for trespassers.
He
don't discriminate.
Yeah. I talked to my cousin today, and we need to say a prayer for her too. So Deborah, she's going to be having surgery on Thursday, so we just want the Lord to guide the surgeon's hands, and you know that she comes out, you know, on top of things, and wishing speedy recovery for her. I got her today. I said, hello. Hey, Deborah. Hey, Domino's got your pizza hot and ready here. Meat lovers, Alfredo. She said, huh? I said, yeah, got your pizza right here. I didn't order pizza. Yeah, it's right here. Deborah, right? Yeah. So after that, I finally let her know it was me, so she got a kick out of that. So that was fun.
Yeah, you're going to have to do that and bun it like that one day.
I got it. We can do it after the show.
That might be that may not be too healthy for you, but do it the daytime.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Charles, I'm right here. And I hear what you and my husband are planning on doing to trick me.
This time of the evening, she ain't on the answer the phone, so.
But I want him to go get us some Tokyo Grill.
She going to see the area code and say, I don't know who this is. And I hear it up front, I don't know who this is. Who that is calling me? And she ain't going to answer. So fast like this.
Amen. You're enjoying your Monday.
Amen. Anyone else that has their mental, I'm like Missionary Ken, two thumbs up. My mental is a 10. I'm thanking God I'm doing good.
No. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, I said two thumbs up. Amen. Thumbs up. And you know they got the little stars around it, you know, five stars around each thumb, so that's 10. You know, they just doing some things, man. I'm thankful. I can't really, you know, I play golf on the right hand side. It's my left arm that's damaged, but believe it or not, I was able to play a good bogey game today and enjoyed just, you know, tingles a lot went in just the movement. But, man, I'm thankful. I'm not still. And I'm doing all I can to keep flexing it. That's one of the instructions doctors gave me, to, you know, keep trying to use it, keep trying to make it do what it used to do, you know. And so I'm thankful.
Did they give you a medicine ball? Did they give you, like, the little clay to like, use?
Not a stress ball. No, they didn't give me that. Because my – that what's so unusual is, like, my hand itself, I can still squeeze it. I have good function in my fingers for it being responsive. It's just from the wrist on through the shoulder, that's where the limitation comes of being able to do different things. That arm just kind of hangs down right close to my side there. Just I can't have people walk with both their elbows out. I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't do that yet. Yet. I can't do that just
yet.
Yet.
Right.
That.
Right.
Yeah. I thank God for yet, you know. That's right.
Yes.
So I say can't do it with that yet. So lifting my hand up on my arm or being able to hold my arms up to clap my hands, I can't do that yet. But we get it. We're gonna get there. Amen. You know, on Sunday when I was praising the Lord, I had just lifted up one hand because I couldn't lift up the other hand, but it was lifted up in my heart. Amen. Amen. But I was thankful just to be able to do what I can do. And so,
amen.
Good friend of mine, he relaunched his ministry for live service because they had been shut down through the pandemic. And so he had his first service since the pandemic of a faith community. So I was glad to be a part of that with him yesterday evening around about 3:30. Pastor Alan Wesley, the Light of Christ Christian Center. And I'm glad to be a part of that, that he was able to relaunch one of these days. I try to get him on the program. You would think when you hear him, you're going to think I brought a professional poet because he speaks so prolifical and just very eloquent in his deliberation of his messages. Everybody can't do it, but he can.
Right.
So I'm thankful. But nevertheless, anybody else? Did I get everybody to have an opportunity to say how's their mental? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
My thumbs are up. Good evening, everyone. This is Queen Nye. I was just waiting for you gentlemen to give me a chance to get in. Because y'all diarrhea of the mouth.
Well, you should have did like Sister Ruth did. You know, she just jumped on in there, you know. Sometimes that's how, you know, when y'all girls play double dutch, you know, you can't just wait. All you keep waiting. You got to go and jump on in there.
Well, this is radio, and trying to be politically correct, we try to wait till people say I am complete before you cut somebody off.
Amen. Thank you.
We try.
You're right. You're right.
Well, I got
I can't correct it.
Well, I have two thumbs up and two toes up.
Okay. Charles, I you didn't do my commentary on that. You supposed to came back with the wolf game. That's all right. He ain't had his coffee yet. That's what it is. He ain't had his coffee yet.
Right.
He got that. He got that.
All
yeah,
right.
Since
well,
Missionary Ken went first, I thought I was going to top him.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
He gonna say, well, Ruth got two thumbs up and I got two thumbs up and both of our toes are up because we're lounging in the sun chair. So yeah, we have eight.
All right.
That's my buddy. But anyway, let's take a moment of prayer, and we just want to praise. We have three particular names on our list. Sister Emily, Red Wine, and Deborah. Recovery for both Sister Emily and Red Wine, and praying for the surgery concerning Deborah. And we still want to keep Dr. Quick in prayer, his family, and as well as we're praying for all of our families and all of our team members here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. We just want to continue to believe God for our betterment, amen, that we'll continue to grow healthy, that we'll grow not just in grace, but we'll grow in spirit, we'll develop in faith, and that we may do all that God wants us to do in this world while we're traveling on this Christian journey. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for life, health, and strength. God, we ask for forgiveness of any sins of omissions and sins of commission. And we need not anything to hinder our prayers from being answered by you. So, God, we come before you humbly and say thank you for what you have already done. We're grateful, Lord God, that our names made the woke list. We're grateful, Lord God, that you gave us a reasonable portion of health and strength. We're thanking you, Lord God, that we're clothing in our right frame of mind. Thank you, Lord God, for having a mind to love you and a mind to serve you. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us the heart to not only love ourselves, but to love our spouse, to love our family, to love our children, to love our neighbor, to love our brothers and sisters in the faith. And most of all, to love you the way you want us to love you. We thank you today, Father God, for it was you who first loved us. We would not know love except for you have first given it to us. And we say thank you, Lord God, for giving us a real definition of undefined love. And we thank you, Lord God, for you have loved us beyond even our own understanding. And we thank you. Lord God, we lift up the names on our sick and shed in. We lift up the names of those in our family that are still breathing. We lift up those, Lord God, that are going through hardship, Lord God. We lift up those, Lord God, that are dealing with oppression, the spirit of oppression. Lord God, we pray, Lord God, that you will release them from that bondage. God, we pray for recovery, Lord God, for Sister Emily and Brother Wine. We pray, Lord God, that you will recover them. Lord God, allow them to recover 100%, Lord God, to what that is for them according to your word. God, we pray for the intended service for Deborah, Lord God, that everything go well. Lord God, that you, Lord God, instruct the surgeon and the doctors what to do and how to do when they do. And we just thank you now, Father God. We thank you just for, again, all the Six Eyes Radio Network team members, each one by one, name by name. We ask that you will continue to bless us, Lord God, as we walk this Christian journey. Give us proper understanding. Now, even in the lesson tonight, Lord God, let not there be any confusion, but let there be clarity, Lord God, as we study the scriptures. Our purpose is to know you better so that to understand what we're to do and how we're to do, how we're to teach others and how we're to lead others. And God, as you do those things, we're mindful to give your name all the honor, glory, and the show enough praise. It is because of you we are blessed, and we thank you.
It is in Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and we say thank you again. Amen and amen. Well, once again, we're going to jump right into this because, like I said, I have a little switching, and I don't mind when the Lord put things on me like that. It's just sometimes from a minister standpoint, I personally like to go over the things that I'm going to teach, you know, multiple times so that I'm sure that I'm presenting them in the text in the right order, making sure that everything have a certain flow. But as this was coming to me, I just began to write it down. And so I'm going to share with you what was coming to me and how I wrote it down. So if it comes out of order a little bit, charge it to my head, not to my heart. But let us walk into the scriptures together tonight. Amen. We're still dealing in the concept or the subject of faith and deliverance. And so whether it's more faith, more deliverance, just faith or just deliverance, it is something that we as believers must teach others. It is something that we must accept ourselves. And these teachings, and thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I go to this text first. So I'm going to read this text first, and then I start teaching everything else that I was going to teach. And that is on 8:1. And I may go back and forth from King James to the New Living, and I even may read some of the some other version, and I give that to you at the time. But from the King James, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. King James, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And I want this thought moving forward. In other words, no one should be condemned by the teaching tonight other than those that do not want to do the will of God and want to remain in their flesh. But anyone that's trusting and believing in God, we're not condemned when correction comes. We are corrected. So we're not condemned. Okay. Get that understanding. This is not Pastor Bonnet saying you're going to hell. Trust me, if I make that statement, I'm going to make it clear. Because some people are going to hell. I just decided it's not going to be me. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all that I have and all that I am. And I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. Why? Because he's going to direct my path. Amen. Amen. So let's jump in. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now. When? Right now, this moment. There may have been some before. Ability, and maybe some later. But in this moment, there is therefore now no condemnation. Okay? That is not just the judgment, but that is the sentencing of the judgment. The condemnation is you're going to hell. So that ain't the judgment is you're going to hell because. Condemnation is the actual sentencing. And so there is therefore now no condemnation to them And who, this is the them he's talking about, which are in Christ Jesus. Not beside Christ Jesus, not behind him, not in front of him, not in his vicinity, but in. In Christ Jesus. Here's the quesits of that. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So give a clear distinction and full understanding of when there is no condemnation. When is time? We saw when in the word now. So right now, if you're walking in your flesh, you can have condemnation. But if you're walking in the Spirit of God, then there is no condemnation. I just want to make that full clear. I don't know if I can explain it no better. Amen. Amen. Verse 2 kind of fortifies that a little bit more for you if you need it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It brings it full circle. So, but if you need it explained to you. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. This is the eternal death, which is separation from God the Father, period. It's eternal separation. Amen? Eternal separation. So, all right. So now I'm jumping into the things I was going to share tonight. First John, not St. John, First John, towards the Revelation. First John chapter 4. And once again, I just laid these out as they came to me, and we're going to walk through them together. Amen. First John chapter 4, verse 20. Put Matthew 7 in front of this one, but I didn't. So this one says, King James, let me change my King James, all right, verse 20. It says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Now, before I read the rest of that, I want to put close emphasis on the text so we'll pay good attention to the wording. This is a text that's speaking to like believers. So the term brother is like faith. So this is not to someone random. This is not something that's open-ended. It's closed-ended. It is defined. So it has a very clear directive. So talking to one believer to another believer. First John chapter 4, verse 20 says, conditional, if a man say, I love God, that's his testimony, that's his statement of faith, or his statement of relationship. If you say you love God and hateth, T-H is a continual. So you may once have hated somebody, but once you came into the knowledge of salvation, you released that hate, even though they may have done something noteworthy to be hated for. You released it because you're no longer part of what hatred is connected to. So he says, and hateth his brother. So this is not just your flesh and blood. Okay? This is not just your sibling. This is one of like faith. If you are claiming to be a Christian, a born-again believer, this text speaks to us. Hateth his brother, he is a liar. Now, I'm not calling you a liar. God, word, called you a liar. So this is not Pastor Bonnet point the finger or pressing the thumb down on anyone. The text clearly, without rebuttal, and I go on and read some more. He is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath, how can he love God whom he has not seen? This is simple because as human beings, we are in the image and likeness of Almighty God. So this even deals with racial discrimination. If you hate me because of my skin tone, you cannot love God. Period. It don't matter which direction the hatred is going. So, once again, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he loveth God whom he has not seen? Period. And this commandment have we from him. Him who? God. That he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So, I don't think I need to read that in another translation. I think it was clear. Revelation 21. Let's keep on going. Revelation chapter 21. Now, Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, gives us a list of people who won't endure the second death. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderer and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars. How many liars? All. Not some. All. This is what the word says. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we, who that studied scripture, we understand that hell is a place of torment, and it, in the final judgment, it's going to be taken up and cast into the lake of fire. which is the second death. And so these are the people that are going to endure that second death. So Matthew chapter 7. Matthew's first book of the New Testament, chapter 7. And we'll pick up there at verse 21. Yeah. Now, these next few verses are going to give us a definition of a true disciple, a true Christian, if you would. The word disciple means a disciplined student, and Christians, we should be disciplined as well because it is to be Christ-like. Christ was obedient to the Heavenly Father, and if we're going to be like him, we must also be obedient to our Heavenly Father. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Listen to what Jesus is teaching. Take lightly what the disciples said because they studied directly under Christ. So it was their job to resound and reteach and fortify the teaching that Christ did throughout his journey. But as we listen to what Jesus is saying, we want to really open up our ears and our heart and our mind to receive it, to understand it, so that it'll be fortified within us. Jesus said, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, capital L, Lord, Lord, enter into the kingdom of heaven. See, this is dealing with speech alone. Because many people are going, you know, there's a lot of people saying they say, or they're Christian, or they go to church. There's a lot of saying it now. And one of the challenges in teaching a message like this is not trying to cross the line of God's saving grace. I don't want to put on trial whether or not God can save anybody. That is not on trial. God so loved the world that he gave. So that is not on trial. God is not on trial. We are. Our actions, our belief, and how they measure up. So he said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now that's what Jesus' message, when he was earthly message was, he said, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what he said. That's his very first message. When Jesus was baptized and he came up, his first message was repentance for the kingdom of God is at hand. He picked up right where John the Baptist was teaching. Up from there, and his message began to be of one of repentance. The word repentance is not a repeat. It means to rethink how you've been thinking. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. It's made available. So the kingdom of God, in other words, membership or citizenship, better to say, citizenship to the kingdom of God was available for those who would repent, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. when you repent, you go through that transformation where your mind is renewed, and the Bible tells us to let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. And so here, when you have the mind of repentance, it allows you to access citizenship to the kingdom of God. How many of you know there are Americans that live in Great Britain? There's Americans that live over in Africa. There's Americans that's living in different parts of Asia and Australia. They're Americans. But because of work or vacation, they may be living or visiting other areas of the world. So citizenship to the kingdom of God is made available for believers when we receive him. Not when we die. It's at our moment of conversion. Now, let me move on. All right. So he says, not everyone, reading again from Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 22. Many. How many? Many. Many will say to me in that day. What's that day? That day is a day of judgment. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done wonderful works? Wow. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Brother preacher, you're going to have to explain this a little bit more. Because how can a non-believer prophesy in Jesus' name, cast out devils in Jesus' name, and do wonderful works in Jesus' name, but Jesus say he doesn't know them? I didn't write this one down, and it's not coming to me exactly where it's at just now. It may come to me a little bit later, but the gifts and calls of God is without repentance. There's some things that God will anoint you to do because it fits his agenda. But these people was doing these things. They said they was doing it in the name of Jesus, but in their heart they were doing it for their own gratification. So it goes along with the teaching that says, when I give, it's not that it's wrong for me to be seen giving, because I should be seen giving, but I don't give just to be seen. If I give just to be seen, then I receive my reward then. So these people, the one that prophesied in the name, cast out devils in the name, done many works in the name, the reward that they received it then. Some people were doing it for a paycheck. Some people were doing it to get their name on broadcast, radio, television, to be internationally known, all of this stuff. God said, you got that reward. you already received your reward. In other words, they was doing it for a reward. They already got it. That goes back. I'm not working for salvation. Salvation is my gift. But because I was giving a gift, I'm working my salvation. Not for it, I'm working it. What's the difference? I bought my son a PlayStation for his birthday. He didn't have to come back and work, pay it off. But he played it because it was given to him. He utilized what was given. So faith without works is dead. I must utilize my faith because these things are given to every man is dealt a measure of faith. We all have a measure of faith. But my job to utilize it so it can grow, so it can develop. Part about that is verse 23. He said, then I, this is Jesus talking now, this is red writing. He said, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, someone else can come and tell you that may mean something else. But if this is the final judgment and he said, leave me, where you going to go? That's all I got to say. I'm moving on. So, Matthew chapter 25. Like I said, I could have gave that one in the very beginning, but it came when it came. Matthew chapter 25, so still in Matthew chapter 25. Let's go. And I hope what I'm sharing is clear and that you're able to read it with me in the Word and see what I see. And if by chance you see something different and you don't want to say, but you have question about it, my email address is prophetbonnet@yahoo.com. That is prophetbonnet@yahoo.com. And you can ask me whatever question, make it whatever comment that you feel that you need to make. Thank you in advance. And even if it's something mean and hateful, hey, may God bring, all I'm saying to you is consider what I'm saying and may God bring understanding or give you an understanding. And if by chance I am in error, pray that God will reveal it to me before I continue on, that I don't stay in error. I don't know anyone in their right frame of mind who will want to stay in error. Certainly not me. So Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 40. Okay? This here is called the judgment, since that's what we finished on that last one. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. Now, again, this is a teaching that Jesus was teaching. So Matthew writes, he records these statements. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another. A shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. Now, I'm not a shepherd, but in studying, and many people that study how shepherds or how cattlemen, how they handle livestock, you have to handle certain livestock certain ways because they have different eating habits and different growing habits. And if you want them to mate in their right season, they must be separated so that they will mate and not just be doing whatever. So he says he's going to divide his sheep from his goats. There's another teaching going along with that. I'm not going to spend time on that thought today, because there's a bit different metaphorically speaking of sheep where they're led to eat and goat to eat whatever is in front of them. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, those are the ones that are being led, but the goats on his left hand, those are the ones that are doing what they feel. Then shall the king say unto them, and the king is Jesus, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, inherit, that is something given to you, an inheritance. Now, if given to you based on the qualification of the giver, based on what the giver says, why they're giving it to you and not someone else. So, like this big thing that they just had with Aretha Franklin will that they found, and they had to certify it to be right and to settle her estate. That the kids didn't earn none of that, but it was inherent to them based on what she wrote. So based on what God wrote, we are inheriting certain things. We are receiving certain things. So that's where we are with that word inherit. So inherit the kingdom prepared for you, the foundation of the world. He didn't wait. We've been done this. This has been ready. We've all just been going through this process. And 35 says, and I'm going to 40, so 35 says, for I was an hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous, who? The righteous. So the sheep have been classified, those that's on his right hand, as righteous. He said, then they that's on his right hand, he said, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungry and fed you? In other words, this was something that they wasn't even aware that they were doing it, but they were doing it to the glory of God. In other words, they wasn't doing it, and I'm not condemning anyone that video their programs of what they do in their communities and all of that. That promotes togetherness. That promotes other people to do things. No, I'm not talking against it. But when you do what you do, whether you seen or not seen, you're not doing it just to be seen. You're not doing it just so others can say, ooh, you're a good person. You do this and you do that. So you're not doing it for the brownie point. Okay? You're doing it because that what was in your heart to do, that what was laid before you to do, and as I started the program out saying, you decided to say, yes, Lord, and you did those things, and because you did those things from the goodness of your heart, in the purity of them, that's where all this is coming from. So he says, then, excuse me, then the righteous shall answer him and say, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for the one act, not necessarily many. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have many, but he that's how simplicity he dropped down here. Insomuch as ye have done it unto one of these, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it also, you have done it unto me. Least of these, my brethren. So that means Jesus had classified these people who was in need. And look at the people that he listed that was in need. That was his brethren. Those that was hungry. Those that was thirsty. Those that were strangers, they didn't look like they come from your circle. Those that was naked, those that just didn't have decent clothes. Those that were sick, those that you was nervous about, and those that were sick, those that was in prison. You didn't turn your nose at them. You didn't look down on them. You didn't think of them as less of Christian because of they were suffering these misfortunes. For one reason or the other, you didn't judge their circumstance. You looked beyond fault and you saw need. So the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, and as much as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now, I plan to start right there because if I read the other part, it'll make all of that clear of what I'm saying. I'm going to try to read the rest of it without interject. I'm just let the Bible speak. So I'm going to read the next few verses that tie all that together because he was talking to the sheep. So now he got to talk to the goats. So, verse 4 to 1. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand. Lord, have mercy. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fires, prepared for the devil and his angels. Wow. The devil and his angels. It don't even say demons. Wow. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, and in prison, and ye visit me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungry or thirsty or thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or within prison and did not minister? Woo! Preachers. Don't do that, Bonnie. Keep on reading. And did not minister unto thee. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to righteous into life eternal. It's very clear who God said gonna make it and who ain't. St. John chapter 14. We got a little more time. I pray what I'm saying is making sense to somebody. I pray what I'm saying is helping somebody to understand this Christian journey. St. John chapter 14. And we're going to pick up there. Verse 15. Again, this is about your faith in God. We're developing a relationship with God. This is not just a religious act. It's not something that we're just doing it to say we've done. No, this is relational. So St. John chapter 14, verse 15. Reads as follow, if ye love me, keep my commandments. That's the spot right there. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. I read this a couple weeks ago, that he may abide with you forever. These are conditions. If I love him, where we already established earlier in the conversation, I can't say I love him and hate you. If I hate you, my brother, I'm a liar. And then the rest of this I don't qualify for. I don't qualify for him to pray for me that the Father will give me the Holy Spirit to stay with me because I hate you. So I don't qualify to have, I can't have the Holy Spirit hating you. I don't qualify for it. It is simple. It's right here. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray. But if you don't love him, then you don't get this. Well, I love God. He know my heart. I just can't stand this person. You don't know what they did to me.
Do you know what they did to Jesus? That he, Jesus, what are you trying to say? It's amazing how we'll try to justify hating or doing somebody wrong, and then we want God to cover us in grace and let us get away with murder. No. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abide? God forbid. We can't do it. Can't do it. We make ourselves to be liars. I read for you already that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Oh, not some. Let me keep on reading. St. John chapter 14, verses 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. If you ain't saved, if you're not a lover of God, you can't even receive the Holy Spirit. So just because you see somebody jumping around a church, that don't mean they got the Holy Spirit. That can simply mean they felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. That can mean that they was moved by the Spirit that was stirred up in the atmosphere of what was going on. And they body responded like that. Because everybody don't even respond the same when they receive the Holy Spirit. Because it is not a one-shoe-fits-all. That's not our teaching tonight, so we're going to move on. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. And shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. That's why we should have two thumbs up. Because the Lord is with us. Yeah, we can feel a little down every now and then, but maybe that's one thumb, maybe not two, but you still got one of them up because you know he's with you. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but ye see me because I live. Ye shall live also. Amen. At that day, ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye are in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keep them. Combination, he that has my commandments and keep them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I want to read that first verse. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my saying, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So we got to understand that when we obey Christ, we're obeying the Father. And if we're not obeying Christ, we're not obeying the Father. So I cannot be Christ-like and not do things Christ-like. Christ obeyed the Father. I must also obey the Father. First John, we're going to wrap this up. We got two more books that we're going to look at. First John chapter 4, once again, First John chapter 4. And we're going to pull a few verses out of chapter 4 and one verse out of chapter 5. So chapter 4, we're on verse 2. Well, I almost want to read the whole thing so I can keep it in context for somebody. But at your leisure, go back and read chapter 4 here. Verse 2 says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." So this was written nearly 2,000 years ago. So he's already confessing to us that the spirit of Antichrist was already in the world. So how much more now, today, that the spirit of Antichrist is here? So a lot of people are saying Christ or saying Jesus, but they're not confessing or believing the truth about who Jesus is. See, folks don't mind you saying God, but once you go to name in the name of Jesus Christ, then all of a sudden attitudes start kicking in. It's amazing how the LGBTQ community wants us to accept them, but you haven't heard how they have constantly attacked Christians. So how can you preach a message of acceptance and constantly attack those? So they said, well, don't y'all attack them? Nah, I haven't attacked now one. Inform all of them that, listen, I'm not mad at you because of your sexual preference. I'm not telling you because of your sexual preference you can't have a living. I'm saying to you, if you want to make it to the kingdom of God, you have to choose God's way, even with your sexual preference. That's what I'm saying. That's not hatred. That's not attacking you. That is informing you of the right access code. You ever got locked out of your Facebook or your email account or something like that and you have to reset it? They had to send you an access code to reset your thing so that you can get back into what belongs to you. But if you put in the wrong code, you can't get in. And all I'm saying to you is the code is Jesus Christ. And if you put in anything else outside of Jesus Christ, you can't get in. Verses 13 and 15, same chapter 4. 13 says, "Howbeit now hereby know we that we dwell in him." This is how we know. If somebody say, well, how do I know I'm saved? Or, well, here it is. Here's the answer to whether or not you have hereby know we that we dwell in him. This is for your personal understanding. And he in us. This is what's going to make it clear for you, me, anyone that really want to know. Because he has given us his spirit. That's number one. "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." not just my ethnic group, my denomination, or any other type of separation you want to use. The world. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. That goes in conjunction with Romans 10, 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart, your heart, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Y'all saw that process? That's a whole process there. Don't skip it. We can go to other scriptures and add along with that. But that's a whole process. That's a whole process. Verse 11. A lot of times we don't read verse 11 with this, but the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You can't be a Christian and be ashamed to be a Christian. Because if you're ashamed to be a Christian, then you don't believe. It challenges your belief. It doesn't challenge mine. It challenges the saving grace of God. Because you don't have faith, that would leave you in a dead situation instead of giving you life, which is made available for you. You must believe. You must believe. Verse 9, if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe. That's faith. That is faith. This is given to us by the grace of God, but what allows us to receive it is you must believe it for your oneself. Mama can't believe this for you. Daddy can't believe this for you. Your pastor can't believe this for you. None of your past ancestors that are dead, stop praying to them. They can't save you. You must do this for your one self. And this is the essence of true faith. Whatever your struggle is in life, deliverance comes once you receive the Holy Spirit. He began to break bonds of sin in your life. If you say, well, I prayed to God about my homosexuality action, well, my question is, are you trying to stop? Do you feel guilty for those acts? Well, I joined another church, and my pastor, they are too, they say God accept you just as you are, him and his husband. They are leading us into the loving grace of God. And I'm going to tell you, today, that's not of God. And when you have rejected truth, the God word already said it is abomination for mankind to sleep with man. So for a man to sleep with another man and have sexual relations with him, or a woman to sleep with another woman and have sexual relations, this is an abomination in the eyes of God. God has not changed that. Jesus said, I didn't read it earlier. I should have read it in part of the text. It might be in the next one here. He said, think not that I've come to destroy it. I came to fulfill it. God didn't come to destroy nothing. Jesus didn't come to destroy what God has already set in motion. Moses only made all these laws and regulations because they were so wicked and wayward. He had to teach them how to live right, how to live holy. He had to break the conditions of 400-something years, 430 years that had been passed on from generation to generation, because they had so in, mixed in with the Egyptians that they was in the world. And they didn't understand what it means to be separate. And today, because of the way some people teach grace, people are still intermingling with the world. There's no difference between them and the world. And so how can you say you of God? And there's no difference between you and them. I'm not challenging salvation. Salvation is available for everyone. I don't care. It's available for the pedophile. It's available for the murderer. It's available for everyone in every state, except for those that blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. That's what the book says. Because you need the Holy Spirit to receive. He verifies. He's the Spirit of truth. As you reject the Spirit of truth, then you're going to reject Jesus, who is truth. And there's no salvation for you apart from Jesus. And so I'm not speaking against the people that pray to Buddha, Allah, Muhammad, Siva, or any other the so-called deities of the world. I'm telling you, they have no saving power. They couldn't save themselves. Christ conquered the grave, and is still alive to tell it. And many of these deities didn't die for their people. Only Christ died for his people and got up with power to prove that he had the power over death. So it's not hatred, because I'm telling you the truth. If you run across the expressway in the mid of rush hour, I'm telling you, you about to kill yourself. Well, I got to get to the other side. Well, you're going to have to find another way, because if you go through a rush hour, you're going to get hit. You're going to get hurt. That is not the time for you to be trying to play dodgeball in traffic. I don't mean I'm against you trying to get to the other side. I'm just telling you that ain't the right way to go. But if you just went 1 mile down the road there, there's an overpass with a walkway. Jesus said, I am the door. I'm not a door. I'm the door. No man comes to the Father but by me. It takes faith, y'all. And we that are already born again, we do not teach exception, because we don't know what God will make an exception for and why. who know God judge every man according to his understanding. Because God judges the heart. Everybody's not privileged to grow up in the spirit of Christianity. And so we don't know what ways God accepts story about, as Jesus gave, about a wealthy man that had a vineyard. And early in the morning, he went out to hire servants, and he agreed with them to pay them a penny a day, which was the day's wages. And that day and time, there was a standard measurement for paying for a day's wages, what was considered a day's wages. And those people that started out with him very early, they went to work, and they worked all day. But later on, he was walking around the marketplace, and he saw people standing around, and he asked them, "What are you doing?" And he said, "See, I got work for you. Go work at my vineyard, and I'll pay you a day's wages." And so they went to work, and later on, he was still walking by, and he saw some still not working. And he said, "Hey, I know it's late in the day, but hey, if you want some work, come on, work for me. I'll pay you a day's wages." And so at the end of the evening, as they came to the master to receive their payment, he started with those that came aboard last. And he paid them according to what was agreed, a day's wages. Well, when the second group went to receive their money, he paid them a day's wages, murmuring and complaining. Even the ones that came early complained that, "Hey, is all we going to get is a day's wages?" He said, "Is that not the agreement?" He said, "This is my money. Can I not be generous with to whom I want to be generous to? I did you no wrong. I gave you a day's wages." Think about what God is saying to us. The people that comes on at the very end, they may not have had to work as hard as we or as long as we, but they still had to work. And that's what he's looking at. Looking at the work. Now, that was for the payment. We didn't work for salvation. But salvation gave us liberty to work. And that is our duty as citizens of the kingdom, to be lazy. One of the things in early society, it was a shame for a man to be lazy and not work to provide for his household. Even if he was still just living in his father's house. In a real kingdom, men pride themselves on being productive. That's why men that was lame and blind and could not work, they would be positioned in places begging, asking for the charity of others, so that they can have something to contribute to their home. So it wasn't about their pride to being too proud to beg. It was their responsibility to bring something in.
And if the blind and the lame can beg to bring something in, what's wrong with you and I who have the full use of our spiritual mobility? Spiritually we see. Spiritually we hear. Spiritually we understand. Spiritually we are able to walk and move about. And if we are spiritually led of God, then we are to be productive in the kingdom of God here on the earth. That's our job. That's our duty. It's not about whether or not you're going to heaven. Salvation is our access to eternal life. But as you study scriptures, you're going to see there's a difference that's going to take place in the eternal life. And so it's our job to do all that God wants us to do in this life. Let's not be lazy Christians, but let us be productive through our faith. Let us encourage one another. Let us build up one another. Let us lift up someone else that we see that is down or below us. Let's give a hand up. Amen. If we, in our temple, got two thumbs up, let's lift out our hands to pick somebody up so their thumbs can be up too. Hey, this is all I have for you this evening. Like I said, it came to me prior to the show. I hope I made it make sense. I really pray I did. It made sense to me, praying that it made sense to you. I'm checking the mics now to make sure everybody's lines are open. If anybody has any comments, questions, I may be able to answer them now. If not, I'll write it down and I'll study it and come back and give you an answer later if I can.
Well, sir, great message. I am taking home a take-home box to eat tonight. Again, very powerful. And it definitely made sense.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Charles.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
California, Los Angeles. I thought I heard
Amen,
that little call. Yeah, I know I heard you. I know Queen was on the line. I didn't hear you earlier. Amen. I knew Queen was on.
I arrived a little late this evening. I think I was about
right.
About 26 minutes late. So I will catch up and rewind to be certain I got the full lesson. But I believe I received in my spirit what thus saith the Lord in helpfulness. Amen. There's a scripture in Hebrews that said God is pleased when we help others. Tells us to remember to do good and help others. I'm paraphrasing, but I know God is pleased, amen, when we do so. So praise the Lord. Love everyone and bless you, Pastor.
Amen. 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 Let me ask you a question real quick, before somebody else jump in there. And excuse me, I just love calling you California. California.
That's fine.
From what you heard, did it unfold in a clear direction of what God is saying?
Amen. Yes. If we love God, we follow His commandments and His way. May we strive in it, because those only in that effort, what we do will last. And to help others as He prosper us to do so, and He searches all hearts, and He knows the difference.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. 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 I just want to make sure.
Amen.
They go Dr. Wolfgang. He'll be my did it line upon line, precept upon precept. Did that take place?
Yep, sounded real good. In fact, I'm taking home a big box with me and enjoying all of it. And also, as far as Nicole, as you call her, California, the scripture you're referring to in Hebrews about helping others, Hebrews 13:2 talks about beware that you entertain strangers, because thereby you entertain angels unaware.
Unaware. Amen. But thank you.
That's
Amen.
What you were.
Bless you. Amen.
So
Amen.
Just enjoyed the whole program. No questions. The comments are that I enjoyed the whole thing, but no questions. It was really good. And just hope and pray everybody enjoys. And when Brother Barnett is ready for me to give the information about Station 2, we'll tell you about the next program that's coming up.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to read that scripture, missionary. Since you gave it, Hebrews chapter 13, I'm going to show 1 and 2. It says, let brethren love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Mm.
Amen.
Remember them that are in bonds. It goes with my, that's why I said I was going to read it, because when you said it, I like, man, that goes along with it. So I'm going to have to write it down so that when I come back to this lesson again, I have it all there. The whole text. So thank both of y'all. Verse says, remember them that are in bonds as bonds with you, and them which suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body.
Amen.
Man is honorable in
Amen.
All. Amen.
Amen.
And the bed is undefiled, but the whoremonger, oh Lord, have mercy. Stop by it before you start pissing again. That's enough.
And six knows what it's like to entertain angels unaware when he had them in his studio here in Ashtabula.
Amen.
He had the Ashtabula angels in his studio.
That's right. That's
sure
right.
Did.
And one time we went to this one church and we actually had another preacher come in and we sang for them, but we sang in our costumes. And so this guy says, got angels in the church. It made everybody laugh, and we even recorded this because this is funny.
Yeah, it was a Christmas program we were putting on, and that's because it was the evening service that they had, you know, at the Union Missionary Baptist Church, and we were doing a Christmas program, and we were talking about, you know, the Lord's birth, that kind of thing, and the preacher that we had brought in for the hour, he was because we had already done our part with the singing, and he said that because we were in our angel costumes that we had been singing in, and we were sitting in the pew, and he goes, yeah, we got angels in the church.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. Angels of church. Mm-hmm. Amen. Angels are God's messengers. Amen. So you, and yes, can be an angel for the Lord. All you got to do is give his message. Amen. That's what angels are. They're God's messengers. But fallen angels are the devil's messengers. So you got to be careful of who you listen to.
Yes, Lord.
Mm. Anybody else? Anybody else, questions, comments, amen. Once again, you can always email me at prophetbonnett@yahoo.com. That's prophetbonnett@yahoo.com. With any questions, please indicate in your subject matter, Motivational Monday, so that I will be clear to understand who's what I'm responding to.
because sometimes you get a lot of junk mail and you just kind of pass things by. But if you put that in the subject, I won't pass it by. And I will do my best to answer what you may have a question about. Send it to me. We'll pray about it and ask God for an answer. And either we'll give you an answer back via email or over program. Amen. It may be great to help us with content and discussing things to the world. So, hey, you may not be the only one with that question. Matter of fact, it is safe to say you are not the only one with that question. So if you have one, send it to us. Let us know so that we'll do our best to try to answer it. Amen.
Let me tell you the highlight of my day, aside from making the woke list. So
yes,
I held a five-month-old baby today. And when I tell you this little princess was so beautiful, I just her little squirming, moving around, and just the innocence of helplessness. 5 months old, our future. I held our future today, and that really made me happy. That really did.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's beautiful. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Well, if we don't have any more comments, go ahead, Queen.
You know what? I'm gonna get on all of y'all talking over me, not letting me get in.
I just said, go ahead, Queen. I heard you a couple times.
My apologies.
Go ahead, Queen. That's why I identified you personally, so that you know I heard you.
I couldn't even hear you because they was talking over everybody. I enjoyed the message. It was very good.
Amen.
And I have some notes that I want to go back and review, but I will get back with you soon.
Amen. Like I said, you can always email me or text me, and we'll go from there.
I got you. You know that.
Amen. I want to thank all of you. Are you done?
I'm complete.
Amen. We want to thank all our listeners this evening. Thank you for your time. I truly mean that when I say it. Thank you for your time. Your time is valuable. Amen. And so that's why it's important for me to make sure that I bring good content, good information, and that I give it the best way I can when I come before you. So thank you again for being a part of the program. Thank you for your comments, questions, and your prayers. At this time, I'm going to ask Missionary Ken to come and give content information concerning additional programming. And following him will be Brother Six with how you can contribute to the program financially.
Amen. All right. Coming up on what we call now Station 2 of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we have a Station 2, and it uses a little different number. First off, we'll give that information. It's 515-605-9340 is the number you call in. Again, 515-605-9340. And you could call into the shows that we got. On Sunday at 9 p.m., we have the cover-to-cover study of the Word with me. And we already did Genesis chapter 1 yesterday. Next Sunday, we'll be covering, starting in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. We'll see how far we get. And then on Wednesday, if you know any little ones that are not in school but would enjoy a good program, they could call in because we have our Wednesday Children's Bible Time at 1 p.m. And that's going to be a nice children's program on Wednesday. On Thursday, we are bringing back the Jumbo Braille program. Either we'll be interviewing somebody with an inconvenience, which this week we'll be interviewing Lisa Green, and then if not a interview, we will be doing some audiobooks as a book club. So either way, and that's, of course, at 1 p.m. These are all Eastern Standard Times. On Friday at 6 p.m., 6 p.m. is the My Daddy's Records with, of course, our founder here, Brother Charles, Brother Six Eyes. He does that where he goes through album by album, song by song, talks about his daddy's records and talks about different songs, different genres, etc. Gives you all the information, teaches you a little bit of stuff, and trust me, I'm learning quite a bit there because I'm not up on all the genres. So I've been learning some stuff, and trust me, you will too. And then, of course, we're back to Sundays. And the other days are open programming right now until we get some other people to fill in those slots. So just come join us. Once again, the phone number, 515-605-9340. And I'm complete.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Gang, Brother Wolfgang. All right. To help us keep bringing you great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, donations are always welcome and needed. To help us keep bringing you great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network and Station 2, Six Eyes Radio Global, you have two options. The first is the most popular. Cash App, that would be $ S as in Sam, I as in Ice, X as in X-Ray, E as in Edward, Y as in Yogurt, E as in Edward, S as in Sam, do numeric 2 and numeric 4, and whatever God puts in your heart to help us keep bringing you great programming here on the Success Radio Network will be greatly, greatly appreciated. For the PayPal users, the email address you'll enter is SIXEYES numeric 6 at gmail.com. Once again, that email address is SIXEYES numeric 6 at gmail.com. And again, whatever God puts in your heart to help us keep bringing you great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network will be greatly appreciated. You're enjoying the Six Eyes Radio Network, Motivation of Monday, with our very own Pastor Kenneth Vonnet. And please post this show. It'll be available. You can check us out on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts. Just simply type in Six Eyes Radio. And in the top right corner, press subscribe, and you'll have the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand. You are enjoying the Six Eyes Radio Network, only on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And who am I? Six Eyes. That's me.
Amen.
I'm complete.
Amen. Amen. And thank you. I am complete. I'm thankful for all of you. My dismissal prayer is simple. And now, by the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, may He rest, rule, and abide with each of us here, now, and forever. Until we meet again, may God be with you, 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 and yes, even you. I love you in the love of Christ. Love me in return. That's your brotherly duty, your sister duty to me. God bless you. I love you. Have a good night.
Good night, America.
Sleep good, everyone. Love you.
Amen. Love you all.